Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This has Ben Lancaster in for Roger Metz. Roger's down in Arkansas goofing off, and I'm here in his place. So we're going to try to have a good time today. I started thinking about it. If you think back to high school, when you'd have a substitute teacher come in, you're always a little happy because you thought you might have a little fun. You certainly weren't going to have a test, and they probably wouldn't pass off any homework to you. So today we're going to do a few things. We're going to have fun. I can guarantee you we won't have a test, but I am going to leave you with a little bit of homework. So a few things that are going on out there that you may want to take advantage of. Down on the coast, they've got the Cast Off Fishing Tournament. That's going to be on September 5th down at the Mount Pleasant Pier. It's part of the Memorial Waterfront Park Complex. Should be a good little deal down there if you want to go. Looks like the registration is $13 for ages 13 and up. And should be a good time for the whole family. Another event that I can certainly get behind is the Foothills Branch Sportsman's Banquet. That's part of QDMA, or Quality Deer Management Association. That's a group that I'm very fond of, a group that our company actually works with very closely. That event's going to be August 27th. The doors open at 6 o'clock. Dinner will be at 7, and the event goes until 10. If you are interested in tickets, a single ticket is $50. Couples are $75, and sponsorships are always welcome. Those are $250. Looks like the best contact there is Mary Beth Trueluck, if you want to reach out and talk to them about tickets. So it's just a great way to have a good time. You're certain to eat some good food, and they've got live auction and silent auction items. You'll have a great time there. You can also go down to the Chester State Park, July 2nd, 7:30 p.m. through July 31st. On August 28th, they're going to have a great night of twilight paddling you can take advantage of down there at Chester State Park. I think Roger has a family farm down that direction. So, Roger, that's your chance to go down there and participate in that event. Again, something else with QDMA, they're going to be participating in this event, and also RACPAC, which is the program that's designed for their youth. People that you want to get in ages 5 through 19, and also the 4-H group. It's going to be on Friday, August 28th. Really, the idea behind it is wildlife food plot management. They're going to do a project where you can sort of map the process of implementing and managing a food plot, and there'll be some awards given away there. So Clemson Extension is also part of that event, and as a Clemson graduate, that's pretty cool that you get to engage with Clemson and QDMA, and should be a really good deal. Wanamaker Wildlife is donating the seeds for that event. Another opportunity you can take advantage of, and it's one that I think Roger has mentioned before, is the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. This is probably pretty relevant as it is right now with the wilderness first responder needs out there. If you've got concerns about being able to respond to issues of maybe a hunting buddy or someone you might go on a hiking or camping trip with, this might be a great opportunity for you to learn a little bit about medical training, different ways to potentially offer some life-saving attention to people if needed. Also learn some survival skills there. August 24th through September 1st are the dates of that event. The cost is $650. Lodging is $15 per night, but you will receive a certification which will be good for 3 years. So that's a fantastic opportunity there. A group that I can certainly get behind, and one that I'm proud to mention on the show here, is the Outdoor Dream Foundation. Their tagline is "Making Dreams Come True." They work with children who have illnesses or have life-threatening illnesses, and they're hosting an event on September 11th. That begins at 8:30. So make sure you check that. That begins at 5:30 at the Bell Island Yacht Club in Georgetown, South Carolina. Dinner, auction, and raffles. Tickets are $25. So take advantage of that opportunity there. I guess one additional thing you might want to take advantage of, this is certainly something that is a family fun event, is go out to Skytop Orchard. I know my wife and boys have been out there before. My buddy Cody Lefford is in the booth with me today. I know he and his family have been there before. So that's just a fun time for all. The season runs there August 1st through December 1st, and the different varieties of apples come in throughout the season. So it looks like the Ginger Gold, are in now in Gala, or will be in here pretty soon. So those are certainly some things that you might want to take advantage of, and things for you to do with your family. I got to experience something pretty fun this morning. I've got two little boys. My oldest is 2.5, and we went and put a game camera out about a week ago, and he has just been on me every single day wanting to go check that camera. He loves to look at pictures, and he loves to talk about deer and turkeys and all that kind of stuff. So we went this morning, and I told him, you have to be quiet. You've got to be quiet going in there. And believe it or not, we got within about 60 or 70 yards of two does, which was really fun because I didn't think we were being quiet, and I didn't know if the wind was in our favor. But we pulled the camera. We ended up having 1,400 pictures of deer, a few little bucks, and a doe with a fawn. And that was absolutely a lot of fun. And we looked at pictures and flipped through, and it just made me think that, you know, in the years coming up, I've got, again, two little boys, how much fun it's going to be to hunt with those guys and teach them about managing wildlife and about what it means to be a hunter, what it means to have a land ethic, and just how much fun it's going to be to get them in the woods. And so that was a really fun thing to be able to experience for the very first time this morning. I'm hoping that my wife will be interested in it one day. She's expressed a little bit of interest in it, but I think with the two boys, she will certainly probably take to it a little bit more as time goes on. We're likely going to hear from Roger later on in the show. He's, again, down in Hot Springs, Arkansas at the FLW Cup. We have a good friend of mine, C.J. Brown, with Remington Country Outfitters, who's going to join us later in the show. He's going to talk to us about booking hunts and finding the best opportunities in the marketplace for that and the ways to get that done. So looking forward to having those guys on the show, and it should be a good session with both of them. Stay tuned, and we will be back with Roger Metz interviewing Anthony Gagliardi, Patrick Walters, and Geddes Brennan. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Again, I'm Ben Lancaster filling in for Roger Metz today. Having a good time so far. I'll be honest with you, it's a little nerve-wracking the first time in the booth, but we're having a blast, and I'm glad that Roger thought to ask me to do this, so this is a lot of fun. Roger's down in Hot Springs, Arkansas at the FLW Cup, and Roger was able to get some interviews with some of the guys down there. Anthony Gagliardi, who is a regular on this show, Patrick Walters, and Geddes Brennan. So sit back and enjoy the interviews that Roger was able to get the past few days.
Well, you've heard him here a lot on Woods and Water, South Carolina, and I couldn't have found a better friend in the first week of this show, and that's Geddes Brennan. He fished the Cup. I just wanted him to take a couple minutes and tell us what it was like fishing behind two of 50 of the best fishermen in the United States, and what he's going to take away from it. So here's Geddes, and tell us what he thinks.
Well, the first day here at Lake Wachita in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I got to fish behind Michael Neal, 5x3 pro, awesome shallow water fisherman, but even a better ledge fisherman. Got to talk to him about deep water fishing, even though that wasn't exactly what we were doing. We had a tough day. Both only had two fish. The last day I got to fish with Clark Wendelot, who's won Angler of the Year three times, and just got to watch him dissect water, which was awesome. And I only caught two more, but I had a couple good ones get off. But just the experience of being here and being able to fish the last cup of co-angler ever be able to fish is pretty awesome.
What are you going to take away?
You just keep fishing. Put your head down when you lose a fish, and you just got to keep on throwing. That's one thing that Clark kind of showed me today was, you know, you're going to miss them. That's fishing. So you just got to keep on going, keep your head down, and stay positive, and hopefully one day I'll be able to win $2 million.
Well, I know one thing. If I hope our relationship doesn't end with graduation, and look forward to seeing what fishing's got for you in the future.
Oh, yeah. We'll keep talking. We'll keep getting on Woods and Water, and hopefully bring many other bigger names than I am for sure on here, and hopefully can connect more people to the airways.
Cool, Geddes. Take care, bud. So he's the half of the 2015 FLW Collegiate Cup Championship team from the University of South Carolina. Patrick Walters, he was fishing on the pro side here at the FLW Cup. Had a good time, I think. Says he learned a lot. But let's hear what he's got to say about the last 2 days, and especially what he's going to take forward with him in his fishing career.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had a great time out here this week, you know, at the Forestwood Cup in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It was one of the most learning experiences I've ever had. You know, I'm fishing against the best in the world. And I had a great first day. It took to about 10 o'clock for my fish to get cranked back up. But I sat there and I waited on them to start biting and, you know, started working on them there. And today I tried to force too much. You know, I knew I was going to need a good bag to stay in it. And so, I mean, it was like 11 o'clock before I had anything. And I was getting anxious. I could see them on the graph and I knew they were there. And so I started running more and more spots trying to make something happen. And then, you know, once you hit two or three spots and you don't catch anything, you want to hit three and four more spots and then five and six. And I learned, you know, patience is a big thing in this game. You know, you can't catch fish when you're running. You know, burning gas is good for certain times, but it didn't happen for me today. I kind of spun out trying to hit too many spots, and I tried to do a mixture of everything. I tried to go from deep to shallow, back and forth, you know, trying to catch schooling fish, suspended. And, you know, it just didn't work out. You know, trying to focus on one group of fish is what I should have done and just maintained to it.
Going forward, you learned a lot. What's in the future for your fishing career?
Oh, there's a lot of big future. I'm definitely going to be back at the Forestwood Cup one day. I don't know when and where, but I plan to fish professionally and pursue this as a career. I still got three more years of college eligibility. I'm probably going to pursue that as much as I can, just because, I mean, college fishing with FLW and bass is just a great experience. I mean, it's hard to beat that, you know, free entry fees and all the tournaments, and it's a great group of guys you meet, and you meet so many contacts and you get so many ties in the industry. It's something hard to beat. And once I graduate college and get a degree, I'll then pursue the Opens and the Ray of X and hopefully the Tour and then the Elite Series one day.
Come back on the show with me every once in a while. Keep me posted, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Just give me a call when you ever want to do it. I'll be there.
Great. I appreciate it. I've had a good time. I caught up with him one time, and he was doing the old run and gun like we spent 3 days doing on Lake Murray, and I knew he was going to be hitting spots. Couldn't find him today. I ran four different creeks, and I found one person that I was looking for. But it was good to see you here. Family had a good time, I'm sure. Going to hang around for the next couple of days, look at the expo, and have some fun there, too?
Oh, yes, of course. You know, family had a great time. I had a great time. You know, no complaints. It's just some minor changes I would make, but looking forward to spending some time in the expo and looking forward to years to come.
Cool. Appreciate the time, Todd. Patrick, and I called you by your daddy's name, but I saw him. Every time I saw him, I saw you. Congratulations. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Well, it's not going to be back-to-back, but, you know, from last year to this year, it's been just so much fun being around Anthony and talking to him and learning a lot about bass fishing. So I just ask him to give us a couple minutes of, you know, looking back on the cup and looking forward. What's in store for him going forward? So here's Anthony Gagliardi, 2014 Forestwood Cup champion, and see what he's got to say.
Well, now there's not much that's changed other than going from current Forestwood Cup champion to former. Current sounds better, but you know, former doesn't sound all that bad either. So, you know, I'm not down in any way, you know, on how this tournament played out. I think that, you know, we talked about some, you know, some of the decisions that I made, and I feel really, you know, confident that I made the right decisions about where to fish, and it was just one of those tournaments where things just didn't work out, and that's kind of the nature of the beast when you fish for schooling fish. You know, there's going to be times when, you know, when you're around them and they either don't bite or they come up, you know, just out of reach a couple of times during the day, and it just, your opportunities, you know, may be fewer and farther between. But then, you know, in that same group of fish, you know, if you pulled in there at a different time of day and your whole routine changes, then all of a sudden you get on like a hot streak and you can really load the boat. And, you know, I'm comfortable fishing that way. You know, a lot of guys aren't, and I'm willing to spend a lot of time in one area and waiting on fish to come up, just because I know how greatly increased my odds of catching one are when they come up and when they surface, when they're feeding. So yeah, that's what I decided to do, was to fish coolers, and I felt like that gave me the best shot to win. And I definitely wanted to, you know, make sure that I was going to do something, you know, strategy-wise, it was going to give myself a shot to win. And schooling fish is how I won basically last year. So, I mean, that was definitely, once I realized that was going to be a, you know, a viable option for me, that's, I kind of ran with that. And looking back on it, I mean, I'm happy with that. It just didn't work out for me.
We got one more tournament this year. It's a Bass Open smallmouth fishery. You're smiling already. You love that thing. Where's that going to be at?
The last BASS Northern Opens on Lake Erie out of Sandusky, Ohio. So I'm looking forward to that one a ton. I've not really spent much time on Lake Erie, but I love smallmouth fishing in general. I just finished second up at Oneida. You know, that makes my third second place finish in a smallmouth, you know, event. I finished second twice at Lake Champlain catching smallmouth, and now a second place at Oneida. So that kind of, yeah, two was okay, but then when that third one came, now it's kind of, I want to win one, because that's bugging me a little bit. And it'd be nice to win this one up there at Erie, because that would qualify me for the Classic, which I was oh so close to making at Oneida. But yeah, definitely looking forward to that, and you know, maybe having a chance to qualify for the elites. And you know, if I decide to fish both tours, then you know, then I'll have a full, you know, full plate for next year. But for right now, I got to worry about going up there and catching them first. But definitely looking forward to it. Lake Erie is a, you know, it's just a great, tremendous smallmouth fishery. I mean, there's just lots of 4 and 5 pound class fish, and there's nothing more fun than catching a 5 pound smallmouth on light line. I can promise you.
He keeps saying that. I'm gonna have to go up there and try it for myself one of these days. Well, it was hot out there. I stuck with him as long as I could and dodged out and all to catch everybody else. But I had a good time. I learned a lot just sitting here watching you. And I figured a lot of what you said out about, look, when you start down a plan, you're comfortable with it, you know you're in good fish, just stick with it, because it is just a number game. One good fish changes the whole outlook. So if nothing else, I've come away a little smarter this weekend. So I appreciate that. You got level rods is going good. Got a display here at the expo, and you heading home Monday, I guess?
I am. Yeah, we'll be headed home Monday morning. Just for all the listeners, we will be having we're having a drawing here for a free rod for people that can sign up and register here at the level booth. But whenever I get home, and it may be on the level performance rods Facebook page already, we will be having another drawing for a free rod. That all you have to do is just like, share, and share the link to the level rods Facebook page, and be entered into a contest to win a free rod. So yeah, everybody make sure they do that.
Well, I've got one. I like mine. I've actually caught a fish on it, which is pretty good for me. But anyway, that's Anthony. Hey, it's his fishing's not over. He's going again, and then he got next year. So appreciate him being on the show all this past year, and look forward to next year too.
Thank you, Roger. I've enjoyed it myself, and looking forward to it again.
Those are some pretty neat interviews. Roger does a fantastic job with those, and Anthony's always so generous with his time. I've been in the booth with Roger, I think twice now. I think in both times, Anthony called in and, we got to talk a little bit about fishing, which I don't know a ton about. I like to, I'm in the woods more. I know Roger loves to fish, and that's certainly something when he gets the opportunity, to step out, to get on the lake with those guys, to talk fishing, to talk, what they're doing and really bring a whole lot of information back to us, the listeners. Normally I'm tuned into this show every Saturday, so it's nice to kind of get some nuggets of knowledge from the pros. I had to, August is tree stand safety month, and it has been a busy year, I can tell you that much. And in terms of family and work, and it's been pressing on me that I needed to get down to our farm and take care of some of those safety issues that I know are out there. And I'm in the outdoor insurance business. We've been a sponsor of this show for a while, and so Roger's had me in before to talk about some of the things that we see on that side of things when claims were brought into us. But it was really pressing on me to get down to our farm. And my buddy Cody, who's here in the booth with me, was able to join me earlier in the week. And it felt great because we were able to get down there. We were able to check every stand from last year. We went in and we cleared all the shooting lanes. We were able to take down and loosen straps that needed to be loosened. We replaced quite a few. We actually got to one stand that, and this is pretty common for us, but we hadn't checked it in 2 years because we hadn't hunted it in 2 years. And when we got there, it was on a white oak tree. The straps on the ladder had busted and obviously not making it safe to climb up. So if we hadn't paid a lot of attention and we just shot straight up the ladder like so many guys do, there's a great chance we'd have been laying flat on our back. So Cody's fantastic about jumping up the tree and replacing those straps. And so we are excited about this upcoming season. We forgot our trail cameras, unfortunately, so we won't know what's out there until they walk by. But that's really the way it's supposed to be anyway. So, but all of our stands are set, so that's a great relief. Hopefully you guys are going to take time to check your stands, check them for wasps, check them for, make sure your ladder's in good shape, make sure the straps are replaced. It's a great idea to do that every year. Make sure you wear a harness not only when you hunt, but wear it while you're checking your stands. One of the things that we have decided to do this year is put a lifeline on every single tree. We hunt out of lock-on stands. We do a lot of bow hunting, and we put lock-on stands in trees that are not always straight. We put lock-on stands in trees that have limbs you have to curl around sometimes. And having that, being secured from the ground up and then from the stand down, is a much more comforting feeling than, especially if you have muddy boots or if you have ice on your ladders or if you're using screw pegs. I just encourage you to go out there, check your stands, check your equipment. It's not worth a fall. If you guys are going back home to family, to your wife, to your kids, you need to take that little bit of precaution. But so August is Tree Stand Safety Month. So as you're out there, take time to check your stands and make sure they're in good shape. It's also a perfect time to start getting your food plots ready. So if you need to do any bush hogging or spraying your plots to get those ready to plant, now's the time to do that. We were able to get a little bit of that done, and I think some of the food plots were put in today. My dad was down there doing that. So the anticipation is high, I can tell you that much. looking forward to, on September 15th, where we are, getting in the tree. We have a lot of persimmons. We're getting, and we see a lot of deer early, so the anticipation is really high, so we're excited about that. I was able to, also talking about kind of exciting things or things that kind of bring you joy in life, I was able to see a really good friend of mine this week, Brandon Bailey. Brandon is a former Marine, and he started the Purple Hearts and Heroes Foundation. He's in Kentucky, and he's going to be hosting a hunt down here in South Carolina the second week of November, I think it is. And so I was able to get with him and catch up on what his foundation is doing for those brave men and women who protect us each and every day. And he's got everything in line and in order for those guys, and it's going to be a fantastic event as always. We've got C.J. Brown with Remington Country Outfitters coming in after the break, so stick with us. It'll be a great segment. Well, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm excited about our next segment. I've got my good friend C.J. Brown here with us. C.J., how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Oh, man, we're doing great. I got Cody Ledford in the booth with me. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness. It must be hard to find good help.
I couldn't. Well, you know, you couldn't make it up here with me, so it's the best I could find.
Hey, Cody, how's it going?
I don't really want to talk to you right now. I didn't get to go down to Cowden last weekend.
You're probably down there now, aren't you, CJ?
Yep, I'm watching them fill the grain bins right now with a fresh batch of corn. I just got down here a couple of minutes ago, guys. The weather has really shifted. We got a little front that pushed in today.
Yep.
And, I'm hoping we're going to get the deer up on the creek a little earlier.
There's not many days in August that you get 80-degree temperatures like it is through the middle of the day. So that front pushing in, I know you've got some big boys pegged down there, I'm sure. It's top-secret business, but I'm sure they're down there somewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely top-secret. And, in fact, we had one of the ones, Ben, that we've been trying to catch for a couple of years now. He's an older buck. I think he's 6.5 or 7.5. I've been following him for 4 years. And he has shown up on the daylight this week. 3 times, which is phenomenal, and so we're really excited about the next couple of days of hunting.
Now, are you going to put your dad on it, or are you going to go after that big boy?
I'm going to selflessly put my dad on it.
You're a good man. You're a better man. I know your dad. You're a good man for doing that. I don't know that he deserves it, really.
You know what? Last night, he texted me. It was 8:30, and it's getting dark at 8:30, but we used pretty good glass, so we had enough time to still see. Caught me halfway down the road to come get
Oh, man. That sounds about right.
Hopefully we can get him to hang tight a little bit longer tonight.
That's right. Hey, CJ, let's dive in real quick. I've got a pretty good understanding of what it is that you do. I'm certain I could learn more of it, but I know this audience would love to hear what you do. If you would, how about give us a little background on you personally, and then maybe talk a little bit about how you got into the business that you run now, which is Remington Country Outfitters.
Sure. Well, I'm from Edgefield, South Carolina. Grew up hunting fishing all throughout the Southeast. My father worked for the National Wild Turkey Federation for a long time. I kind of grew up in the outdoor industry. When I got out of college, I worked a couple of different jobs. Worked my way back into the outdoor industry, and I decided about 6 or 7 years ago that I wanted to be in the booking industry, the service industry, of helping people find good places to hunt and fish. Because I've been fortunate enough to travel a lot of unique places. Just wanted to share my knowledge with hunters, like-minded hunters around the world. And over the last 6 or 7 years, through Remington Country Outfitters and Outdoor Ventures Worldwide, we created one of the premier booking services in the country. We help guys plan for future hunts and buy preference points and, kind of create a hunt plan for their entire life and place them in camps that we trust and know have good hunting and fishing opportunities. And it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoy working with guys that, want to go to quality locations and have good experiences in the field. And that's what I do. I help guys make long-term and short-term decisions about where to hunt and fish.
Well, Cody and I were very fortunate this turkey season to go to Montana with you. Powder River Outfitters, and I think what you're saying is the absolute truth. That thing was planned perfectly from start to finish. We knew what time we're getting there to the minute. We knew that we were going to be on turkeys, and we were. The food was fantastic. The accommodations were just what we wanted.
You had a pretty good guy too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, pretty experienced guide. And I tell you what, if guys are looking for a first class hunting opportunity, they should call you, because from my personal experience, and Cody, you can speak to this too, I'm sure, it was spot on. It was absolutely spot on.
I appreciate you saying that, Ben. And one of the things we specialize in too is corporate retreats, group hunts for guys that, maybe a firearms company like Remington has a new product that they're coming out with. We help put the hunt together to fit that client's specific needs of showcasing that firearm. And that's something that we really specialize in. I love working with companies. I love working with individuals too. That's really a lot of fun.
CJ, on some of those corporate retreats that you're talking about, would that be a business that might have a group of sales guys that may have exceeded a goal, or maybe just some executives that want to go out and kind of just relax and maybe recharge and talk shop? So you're working with groups like that, I assume.
That's correct. And in fact, right now we're hosting a trip through Dice Sport Optics out in New Mexico, mm-hmm. where we're going to have an executive from Dice come along with us for the first rifle day opening season for next year for elk. In one of the hottest areas in the world. We've got 100,000 acres of private land that we're going to be hunting, and it's just going to be a phenomenal hunt. And so that's an example of something that we do, and I'm excited about this hunting season. We've already got guys out in the field having good success off the start of 2015 fall season. And I guess next month we've got guys headed to Alaska, Mexico, Canada, you name it. So I've got probably a couple hundred people headed out in the next couple of months. So I'm excited about this season.
Well, I assume if you've got groups, corporate groups and executives going to, they're going to spend good money, I assume, to go to these places. You're not just sending them to just to any outfitting business. What's sort of your vetting process for some of these outfitters you might send a corporate group to?
That's a good question. You know, that's a tough thing to do, is to vet an outfitter to make sure that it's, you know, a quality hunting location. Because to me, hunting and the hunting quality and fishing quality is number one. You know, if it doesn't have, you know, a fair amount of game on it, we're not going to work with it. And in most cases, I personally visit the destination, or either my father does, or either we've got a couple of representatives that help us see these spots and vet them and make sure that they are, you know, somewhere we want to send somebody. Somebody that we, you know, trust with our clients' money. Because at the end of the day, this stuff's expensive. It's an investment. A lot of times I work with guys that are only going to do one of these trips in their whole life. And so I really take care of, I take mind to that whenever I plan their hunt, because I realize that $4,000 or $5,000 for an elk hunt is a lot of money, and you want to get what you pay for. And that's really our goal, is to make sure that when guys go on a hunt, they get what they pay for, and they get the experience that they're after.
Yeah. So when somebody books a hunt with you, that's not the end. That's really just the beginning, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. In a lot of cases, Ben, I help guys make long-term plans for hunting big game, like elk specifically, because you really have to think about elk long-term if you want to hunt in the West, because a lot of states require you to build up preference points and apply for different draws. And I think that's really my specialty, is helping guys navigate the waters of the, you know, the different states' regulations and processes.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out, you know, where they want to go and what kind of elk they want to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Or mule deer or whatever it may be, sheep, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, that's right. So kind of, if a guy's thinking about calling you, why would he, other than the things you've already mentioned, CJ, why would he call you instead of calling the outfitter directly?
Well, the one good thing about calling us is, one, I've got experience with the location. So I'm going to place you in a spot that we know has a good history of providing good hunting fishing opportunity. And the biggest benefit, it doesn't cost anymore. If you book the hunt directly through me, you don't pay a dollar more than you would if you went directly to the outfitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I help you buy your license. I help you plan travel, help you get any kind of, you know, trip insurance packages you might need. Internationally, that can be a really big challenge for people who've never done it before. And we just take that headache completely out of the process for them. That's really where we specialize in. It's just helping navigate the, you know, some of those things, and we don't cost anything more. I get paid by the outfitter. You don't pay a dollar more.
Yeah. So guys that are looking to do this, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be a getaway, a way to recharge. They don't want to be tied down with all the extra things that come into making sure the hunt works, making sure that the money they saved up, that they told the wife that they were going on this trip, that they get out there and it's what they were told. Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the experience to be what they paid for, mm-hmm. and I help ensure that process.
That's fantastic. How many guys do you have working with you now, CJ?
Well, I run the company. My dad works with me directly. He's my boss. I've got a couple of pro staffer guys that assist me in locating good destinations. Man, we're hoping one day you can maybe join that team with us too. I don't know about Cody yet.
Oh, you don't. You got a reputation to keep up. I don't know, CJ. That'd be fantastic, man. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Now, is Ronnie Lambrick with you now as well?
He is. Ronnie assists us in selecting locations, helps us out some with the marketing, the program, and you know, he checks out spots for us, and it's just a really good part of the team.
He is. So he was in Montana with us, and we got to spend some time with him. I don't think you'll find a guy that smiles more and has a better outlook on life than Ronnie.
Yeah, I agree. He's such a positive force. He's a great deer and turkey hunter. You know, probably one of the most experienced turkey hunters I've mm-hmm. been around. And we really enjoy turkey hunting, too. My goodness, I spent probably more days turkey hunting in the field than my wife would like to see.
That's right. Well, if you got guys like yourself and your dad, who I know well, and Ronnie, just top-notch guys, and people will have – if they have the same experience that Cody and I had in Montana, if you have that anywhere else in the world – You're gonna be glad with the money that you spent with Remington Country Outfitters, and you'll be guaranteed to have a first class arrangement from start to finish. That's for sure.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, there aren't any guarantees in hunting. You know, we hope that that's the biggest deer you've ever seen in your life. Walks out, you get an opportunity to take it. But these animals are wild. And so well, the details that we manage around travel and trip, anything associated with the trip or licenses, you know, we want to make sure those things are done to a T. And we try to say we'd like to control everything except the weather.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, CJ, listen, I appreciate you taking time. I know you're down at deer camp, and you're probably getting ready for this afternoon's hunt. Are y'all getting in the stand a little after 5? What are you planning to do?
Yeah, we're going to get in probably right around 5 today. This big deer's been popping up between 7 and 7:30,
yeah.
Depending on the day of the week. Some a little later, but
yeah.
We're just front pushing through. It's cooled things down to about 75 degrees here, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, that'll
hopefully
be fantastic. You still sure you can put your dad on that deer? It's not too late to back away. You did say it on the radio, though, so it might be hard to pull away from that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess I'll keep my word.
Keep your word. Well, listen.
One more crack at it.
If he's able to connect on that big deer, how about send me a picture? I'd love to see him.
I'll definitely do that, man.
I'd love to see him.
Don't worry. You'll see plenty of pictures of it.
That's great. Well, CJ, listen, I appreciate your time, and you just offered some great value to the listeners here. Listen, CJ, how do people get in touch with you if they got any questions?
Well, first thing they can do is check out our website. It's www.remingtoncountryoutfitters.com, or they can call me direct on my cell. It's 803-480-1260, and I'm pretty much available anytime except for when I'm in a deer stand.
So not very often.
Not very often. You're not available very often then.
Not very often.
That's funny. Well, good. Well, CJ, thank you. Listen, I hope you all have a good afternoon in the stand, and we'll catch up with you here before too long.
I appreciate it, guys. Keep Cody straight.
Will do. Will do, my friend. Have a good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
See ya.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope y'all enjoyed that last segment. CJ Brown and his dad with Remington Country Outfitters, they really do run a first-class operation. I had the time of my life out in Broadus, Montana. The countryside was all you could imagine. There were antelope and mule deer and white-tailed deer. And Cody will probably laugh when I say this, but, you can't find shed antlers in the Southeast hardly. It's really hard to find them, and they drop them in the thickest stuff you could imagine. Well, not out there, because all you have to do is walk the river, and you got to just make sure you don't step on one. And I found about a 130-inch 8-pointer that had jumped a fence, and he had dropped both sheds on top of one another. And I'm pretty sure I giggled or squealed, and
hey.
CJ CJ and Cody were just making making fun of me. It was such a neat place because, at least where we were, it was really like a shed under every tree, it seemed like. It was just a wonderful experience. The turkey hunting was phenomenal. I was on with Roger back in May, I think it was, middle May, and I got to share a little bit about my hunt. Obviously, I was able to kill two birds, which was you get two tags. One was the very first morning. We roosted the bird the night before. Right off the roost, probably no more than 10 minutes after fly down, we were able to connect there.
It's still dark out there.
Pretty much dark. Yeah, it was legal, but it was dark.
That's right.
And then the second bird was 2 days later, right through some cottonwood bottoms, and it was as pretty as can be. Cody was also successful. Cody had two tags, and Cody's two birds he was able to connect on the same day within, 2 hours of one another?
It was about 2 hours, and it was about 2 hours and about 200 yards apart.
Yeah.
Just real exciting hunting.
Probably, see, the turkey hunters will appreciate this. At least out there, it looks flat. You're looking through these cottonwood bottoms, and it just looks flat as can be. But there's a lot of dips and undulations out there.
Are you about to tell them on my turkey story?
I was going to tell you a turkey story.
No, go for it. It's embarrassing.
This turkey gobbled at 150 yards and started easing to us. And normally these birds are pretty quick. This bird ended up in my lap I'd already taken my bird, and I really wanted Cody to get one before I was able to get a second one. It just didn't seem appropriate to have two before your hunting buddy got one. This bird kind of put the slip on us, and he popped in, and I could hear CJ behind me saying, "Would you go ahead and take that bird, shoot that bird,
kill him,
and
man.
Kill him?" And I'm looking and going, I really want Cody to take this opportunity. Fortunately, Cody was clever enough to know what was going on.
Well, clever enough. I was on my gun looking where the direction he had gobbled. And he got in one of those little dips and slipped right past us. And I heard CJ say, "Kill him, Ben." And I was like, "Where's the turkey at?" And so I lifted my head off the gun and kind of turned and looked towards Ben. And that gobbler was standing 20 right yards in front of Ben, just right standing there.
So that was really fun. We're all excited. And then CJ said, "We've got a great spot. It's no more than 200 or 300 yards away." We did have to jump in the truck to get to it because of the river. We had to go kind of in the oxbow of the river. And we were able to slip in. I don't know how many deer we ran out of that field. But we eased in, and traditionally, a lot different than eastern turkeys, they'll roost in the same trees year to year, day to day. They will have some variation, but oftentimes it'll be in a real similar spot. And CJ said, "We've had a lot of success here through the years." So CJ and Cody were on one side of the tree, and I was on the other. I was kind of dozing a little bit and watching some deer work through the bottom. And then Cody sees a fan tip the – what was that back there? Was that like a –
a little slough or something.
It was a slough or something. It topped over. Cody and I decided to belly crawl to the roost tree that we thought would be where this bird was going. And he had, what, 12 hens with him?
Oh, yeah, a handful.
It was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. I've never seen a turkey's head so white. I've never seen a turkey strut so hard. And I've never been so emotional about a turkey hunt than that one, because he was in our world. And then those hens would take him away. And he was in our world, and he'd take him away. Cody did a little bit of soft yelping. I thought it brought those hens close to us. And you were able to connect on the best bird of the entire hunt.
Yeah, in about 2 or 3 months, you'll be able to see him in my living room. So that's pretty exciting.
Did your wife, Jessica, know that? Did Jessica know that?
It's on the radio now. She can't do anything about it.
It's like Carl Brown and that deer.
That's right. Big Carl.
So, but we had a great time again with CJ. I'd recommend that you give him a call or check him out. Remington Country Outfitters, more than just turkey hunts, deer hunts, elk hunts. He can set you up on an African hunt as well, if that's what you're interested in. He's got a great variety for you to choose from.
I would definitely recommend him. I do a lot of public land hunting, and my thought was I could just go out and kill me a Merriam's with that knowledge. But as I started researching it and like where to go and how to get the tags and just all the rules and regulations, it was just a real daunting task. So CJ, Remington Country Outfitters, they just made it work. It was easy. It was seamless. We just showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. Roger encouraged me to do this, to take the opportunity to sit in the booth, but and to fill in for him. I've done it a few times before with Roger, and the reason I was able to do that is because we've been a sponsor for Roger's show from the very beginning. My company, Outdoor Underwriters, was very fortunate to have met Roger. Roger actually walked in our office one day and just said, "Hey guys, I think you'd be a perfect fit for this show. I think you ought to take this opportunity to promote yourself in the upstate. We have a pretty good presence. We're based out of Columbia, South Carolina. We're a national company, but we have a pretty good footprint here in the upstate. A lot of that's related to QDMA. As I mentioned before, we're very integrated in with them. We actually administer the Hunt Lease Liability Program for QDMA, and we also do the same thing for the National Wild Turkey Federation, in which CJ's father was one of the executives there with NWTF. And so we have those two hunt lease liability programs that we administer. This is the time of year that's really busy for us. Guys are renewing leases. They are shopping around for new property. And with it nowadays, it's sort of the necessary evil. We understand, we understand that, that you have to have hunt lease liability coverage. So I'd encourage you to call us. You can go to our website, outdoorunderwriters.com. We have partnerships with forestry associations all over the country. Again, two conservation groups that we offer the hunt lease coverage through. So now's the time of year to, if you've never purchased the coverage before, it could be a good opportunity to do that. If you've purchased it from someone else and you'd like to compare our cost or our policy to someone else's, we'd love for you to do that. So that's outdoorunderwriters.com. We have landowner liability programs. A lot of times landowners don't think about the risk that might be facing them as a landowner. But if you allow business associates or you have guests or family enter into the property, if someone was to get hurt, there could potentially be a claim situation there. Trespassers are always a concern. And so through our Timberland Liability Program, in partnership with the American Tree Farm System and National Woodland Owners Association, we can offer landowner liability coverage. Two of the programs that I really work closely with at Outdoor Underwriters are for consulting foresters. We have a really unique program there designed for a professional forester or a wildlife manager who might be doing things like prescribed burns or pesticide and herbicide applications, timber cruising, negotiating timber sales, any of the errors and omissions coverage that might be needed for the professional activities that forester is conducting. So I would encourage you to give us a call there. My number is 866-961-4101. I'd be glad to speak with you directly or any member of your team. We can help with all the insurance coverage for your consulting forestry business. Another thing that CJ and I are working on are guides and outfitters coverage for some of his outfitters. So I manage our guides and outfitters division. We work with outfitters all over the country. Had some guys from New Mexico I was working with last week. Had some accounts in Texas, and so it's really fun to see how all these businesses are structured a little bit differently and how they manage for wildlife a little bit differently. But it's been a lot of fun to get to meet outfitters all over the country. I'm a whitetail guy. I love hunting deer, and it was really neat to meet some guys in Illinois. Just had some guys that I was able to connect with and work with in Iowa and Kansas, and that's big buck country. That's where you want to be. And my goal one day is to make it to Iowa. I've got to start putting in for some of those preference points, but that is absolutely the goal one day.
Well, now you're just getting selfish because you already got your 150 from Ohio.
Well, I appreciate you. Yes, I did. That was a very neat thing. My dad has a client up there, and he was really nice to say, "Hey, come on up and just hunt." And we had a really fantastic time. What was that, 4 years ago?
Three or four years ago.
That was a really fun hunt. So yes, I guess I am getting a little greedy. I'd love to have another one. I'd love to have another one just like him. It was just so much fun. So working with guides and outfitters is a big part of my business. Something that is brand new on the marketplace that we created is a standing timber policy for a landowner. A lot of standing timber policies are not really geared towards what you might consider to be a small landowner, someone with 500 acres or less. Not that I consider 500 acres small, but for a standing timber policy, you really need quite a bit of acreage to make the math work on it. We created a small growers program or a fire product. So if you're in timber production and you want to insure some of that timber or some of that the cost to replant if a fire occurred, we can help you there. So we've been at this for quite a while. I would love the opportunity to talk with you. Again, my name is Ben Lancaster. It's been just so much fun spending time with you today. If you want to call me, it's 866-961-4101. Or outdoorunderwriters.com. Roger will be back next week. He'll catch you up on all the adventures that he had down there in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And wish you guys the best and have a great weekend.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't he just like a friend of mine to hit me from